Welcome to the Back the Girls podcast. I'm your co-host, Gemma Halleck. I'm joined by one of our newest co-hosts today to talk about the WXV competition, a new competition for the global game. And we're so excited because Wales just played Canada. We've got lots to talk about. We're also going to discuss what's happened at Worcester and how that concerns the Welsh game. And I got a bit of a shout out and a bit of an ask of the Welsh club rugby scene. And as always, keep the pressure on the WRU to do more. Join us. It's all on the podcast.
We're back. And it's a really, really exciting time to be back. And I'm really pleased that we get to introduce a brand new host for this season. One of the most lovely people you'll ever meet, the lovely, lovely Carol Thomas. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Shemai.
Iawn, diolch, Shemai. Well, what I love about this is obviously Tails, Lowry and myself are all really old and long retired, but you can bring us that flavour of what it's like to be part of this new squad. So when was your last game, Cam?
So I retired just in the Six Nations just gone, and my last game was out in Italy when we got that record win against them to mean that we finished top six in the world.
Woo!
Top six in the Six Nations, top six in the world.
Not top six of the Six Nations.
Yeah.
So you finished on a high, really. Was that it? Would you kind of say, well, that's pretty good, boys, I'm out?
Yeah, it'd probably been on the plan for a little bit. With the Rugby World Cup, COVID, that move in, stretched it out as long as I could, probably. Had a knee operation in December, and then just kind of see how that went. Had S&C physios, and just grateful to get that last kind of Six Nations, that opportunity to play and be part of and then get that professional contract, really. Like, without COVID, I don't think that would have happened. I probably would have retired a bit earlier. So that's quite cool. And yeah, being part of Johan Cunningham's kind of environment and everything that's happened since then. So yeah, it's really exciting times there. You can really see it building and feel it building. So yeah, good.
Good. So what have you been up? We'll lean into the Johan Cunningham era because you've got insight on that the rest of us don't have. Before we get into more detail, I just want to explain to the fans who are currently really upset that the fans, I think we got about two listeners, but you know, the fans, explain to the people listening that their favourite is not on today because he's currently in Disneyland. So we know you want to hear Lowry's voice, but she's currently fighting her way to the front of the big girl rides and being told she's too short. So she's in Disneyland. She will join us hopefully for the next one. But back to you, Carol, as our new co-host. Welcome. But tell us what you've been up to since that six. So you got us top six, not you single-handedly now, right? No. But you finished by getting Wales top six in the world. Massive, huge achievement, Dione. So what have you been doing since then? It's a bit of a come down, isn't it?
Yeah, having some pina coladas. Gin and tonics. I was really fortunate to kind of time kind of my retirement, and my partner and I were expecting a baby. So little Ava was born during the Six Nations, actually. So it caused a bit of turmoil, but it means that I step in straight into a new hat, wearing a new hat, and being a mother. So it's been kept me quite busy over the last, and she's 6 months now. So yeah, it's going really well and enjoying it. And then from a work perspective, I work for Bath Rugby Foundation, an awesome charity that supports young people using sport as kind of the tool. So really all the stuff that we've been, how you create a brilliant environment and an inclusive kind of environments, making people thrive in their wherever they are, in school or in work, which is really cool.
You've done that for a while, right? You did that throughout your playing career as well.
Yeah, so yes. So I managed a dual career for 16 years and then got 1 year as a professional. so yeah, I'm an M4 guru, driving back and forth, been living around Bath. I finally moved back to Wales, which is really exciting. So I live in Newport now, have done for the last 2 years. And yeah, I've done it for a long, really passionate about it. Mm-hmm. Like, the work that we do genuinely changes lives, puts people on awesome paths, and builds skills to be able to progress. So yeah, really passionate about it and kind of moving into a bit more around working with businesses and how actually we create a high performance team within business or within organizations. So with our Lose the Labels training. So yeah, it's really exciting times actually. It's nice.
So you're heading all that up, you're the boss?
Well, I'm heading up our training and I'm heading up our program development. So everything that goes out into the community.
Yeah, we're quite aligned, aren't we? Obviously, we're both very passionate about women's rugby and Wales women's rugby more than anything. but we're both very much aligned on the skills and the pathways of the future. Like, I literally do not care about anything else, which sounds quite bad. But the only thing that gets me fired up, the only thing that will get a rise out of me and I feel passionate about is Wales women's rugby and young people and skills. So anything else, I'm just laid back, like, you know, whatever you want from me, you can have it. But those two, I will fight tooth and nail to make improvements there. So, yeah, we're very much aligned in that. So we could talk about that for ages. But
yeah,
that's
let's
not,
do another podcast.
Yeah, that's not why people are listening today. So Gab's probably going to have to do a lot of editing here. And before we move on, I just want to say a big thank you to Gab. So Gabriella Dukes, many of our listeners will know, and not that we have many, some of our listeners will know that Gab's been with us from day one. She's been our editor and creates this almost seamless podcast for you guys to listen to, because without her, it'll just be me and Cara waffling for 3 hours. So appreciation to Gabriella Dukes. And not only that, she's a woman forging her own path in digital media sport. She's worth a follow. Give her a follow, Gabriella Dukes on Twitter. And keep an eye on the work she's doing. She's incredible. So thank you. Diolch yn fawr, Gab. Right, we're going to need a jingle now because we're not technical at all. So if we could follow Lowry's lead with me, Carol, and we're going to go into a jingle. Are you ready?
Three, is this induction?
Two, 1, this is it. Jingle, jingle,
jingle, jingle, jingle, jingle, jingle, jingle, jingle, jingle.
Okay, so it was an early one this morning, Car, and Wales just suffered another defeat to the hands of the Canadians. It was 42-22 out in New Zealand. We'll talk about the context of the tournament later, but what are your initial thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I thought it was a good game, actually. I actually watched it at 4 o'clock in the morning. Little Ava had woken up doing a nappy change and I was like, actually, let's check on what the score is, and oh, I'm in it, because it was real tight. It was 10-7. KB, Kira Bevan had just kicked her penalty and we were ahead, so I was like, oh, blubber deck, this is brilliant. So so that first half I thought was really competitive, really good, good performances, like some nice tries, some well-worked plays, obviously from the training ground with Caris Phillips and her and Alicia Butchers.
Talk us through that one. Is that something that you'd been part of, that'd been practiced?
Yeah, so you know, so I suppose Wales are quite renowned for our maul, scoring tries. You know, I can't imagine what Caris Phillips and Kelsey Jones's record for tries are at the moment, probably top scorers. And yeah, really well worked try, really. So you know, our pod goes up in the middle. Canada stayed down because it's 5 meters out. But actually, we do a funny to Butchie, who's on the 5 meter line. And then basically, I think Canada even had a second role, a number four, defending the 5 meter channel, so not the hooker, and got caught out. And Caris Phillips down the wing for the 5 meters and scores their try, which is brilliant.
Yeah, the one defender that was left in that channel that the middle pod had drifted back comes in, steps in on Alicia, and Butchers just gets that pass back to Caris Phillips. And she just, like, you know, open door in front of Caris Phillips. You know, easy, easy rugby. Exactly what she's used to doing, yeah. So you must have loved that one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, that comes down to the analysis. Like, you can identify when props or pods are going to move off, and if that's a common theme. So well worked, that was.
So on that note, you've been part of this. Is that kind of the analysis that this squad does?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gosh, like with the... I can't tell you the difference a professional contract has made in the amount of time you can now give that's energy filled time. So like you actually finish at, you know, 4 o'clock and you can go home and you can do your analysis there rather than being like, oh, I'm finishing 11 o'clock at night and then I've got to get up for work the next morning and squeeze in my gym session. And then probably I'm driving back. Well, for me, I was driving from Bath to Cardiff. So I'd have to get back in the car, drive back to Cardiff, and then we're back into training. So like just from capacity point of view, like you're constantly juggling and trying to, you know, manage, trying to do the best at both. You're trying to give 100%, but actually that's 200% that's been asked of you.
Yeah. So we're in a position now, some would argue it's still early doors in terms of our contracts, but when it comes to this game management moments where, you know, you do a line out 5 meters out, you've called a certain call because you know you've had the time to work out that's what Canada are likely to do and it results in a 5-pointer for Wales. So, you know, the time we get back,
seven
we just
pointer.
Said a 7-pointer, apologies. So that time that you're given as professional athletes to review these, to make decisions that directly relate to 7 points on the field, it's, you know, it's a gift, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a huge correlation across with it because you go into so much more detail because you've got the time around it. But also we've got awesome coaches, great infrastructure, you know, more infrastructure, I should say, like with video analysis who feed you so much common themes, which is brilliant.
Okay, so the first try was straight off the training field, straight out of the analysis room into the training field and points on the board. So tell me about the rest of the game.
And then the second was completely opposite with Georgia Evans getting her intercept.
That's line speed though, right? That's line speed, right? That comes from the defensive structure. A gift for Wales though, ultimately when 80 minutes into the game, you realise that it would have been 42-15 had Georgia not intercepted that try. You could argue that, you know, she saved our blushes a bit. But
absolutely.
I think it comes down to those spot defenders coming out to the line. And when you put pressure on like that, the intercept is always an opportunity, isn't it? So is that something that Wales have been working on as well in that defensive structure?
Yeah, I think that's an area that we've really strengthened is our defence and keeping teams out. And when you're playing top tier, that is, you know, the main goal, really, you know, keep teams out because, you know, in the past, that's where the difference is if you're hemorrhaging tries or if you're not playing in the right areas of the pitch. So to be able to put pressure on through our defense is massive. And actually, it changes the halftime conversation then because what was it? 21-17 at halftime, which is, you know, sounds like a really exciting game and it's anybody's to take. So that was awesome.
Mm. That was crucial, right? Because exactly what you said, you're going back into the changing room. The conversation is very different when you're one score behind to when you're having to chase the game or you've got a mountain ahead of you. Or, you know, when you're in front and, you know, the gap is closing behind you. So for Canada and Wales, the conversation would have been altered by that Georgia Evans try. Second half then. So they come out second half. Kind of slipped away from Wales, didn't it? My interpretation was that we couldn't live with the intensity that Canada threw at us, the speed of ball, the direction, the change of direction in attack and what Canada offered was so varied. Wales constantly on the back foot. Canada's carries were dominant. Wales going backwards again in that situation. And as you go backwards, that's when the penalties start to mount up, right? Because the pressure's on.
Yeah, but I'd say, yeah. And also, I think Canada are a really good team at moving the ball. So utilising their backs. They've got, you know, like we talk about the athletes because they're tall, you know, they and can run. And
that's all you want from a rugby team, right?
That's what you want from a rugby team. And so that makes it hard in a defensive. You've got to work together. You know, our back line has to work together to be able to, you either shut it down and you have to get man and ball, woman and ball, or you've got to manage it to use the sideline to be able to keep the territory, like to try and manage the game. And kind of just got a couple of opportunities around that. And I think actually Wales were starved from the ball a little bit, didn't have that much attacking. When we did, we kind of gave it away with penalties of either sealing the ball or holding on. You know, Canada put in lots of pressure. So we were unable to kind of build in that period.
You say that, you talk about Canada's backs. How good are they were from going from set piece to the 5 meter channel, putting real width on the ball?
Yeah, like straight away, quite happy, weren't they, to move it out to the wing. And you know, yeah, putting pressure on that defensive line. You know, you've got to cover that whole distance across the pitch. That's straight away going to stretch you. And as a front forwards pack, you're getting up and you're like, oof, got to work real hard. Otherwise, you're exposed out on the wing. So, yeah, really clever play, like good play. Up the ante, I think they did.
Yeah. So it was a bit of a bruising encounter for the girls. What's your thoughts on the matchup in terms of physicality? Are we a fitter, stronger team than maybe when you were in the squad, or you know, when we were at the World Cup? Are we developing in those areas?
I only retired 3 months ago. Four months ago.
That's a whole other competition away.
No, it is. It is. They've had another pre-season in together. You know, you can't take away as well the value of being together the whole time. It's a totally, you've seen it with, you know, Gatland, like he's had 4 months building towards the World Cup and they haven't been at their clubs. So it makes a huge difference to kind of build that cohesion, build that belief, get the infrastructures in place. So absolutely, you know, and you've got new caps like Karis Cox coming in, Nell Metcalf, who are really exciting players coming through and putting pressure on people, which is brilliant. And they're now coming into an infrastructure that they become full-time athletes. They're going off to New Zealand for their first tour, which is just amazing. But I have got a shout out, because we haven't finished talking about the game, about Al Cal's try.
Yes.
Because what I really liked about it was we brought in some different attack. Robin Wilkins tried a crossfield kick to Lisa and it didn't quite work out, but put pressure on. And then Lady George came on.
Yeah.
And did her crossfield kick. Lisa caught it, put pressure on, and then Al Cal runs this blinder of a line from I don't know where, from the halfway line. And
she'll claim it was halfway.
And just blindsided the defence and got over for that try, which was brilliant.
Is that a change of personnel that brought that energy? I know Alex Cal was still on and Newman was still on, but you got Katie George comes on. And maybe just that, you know, it's slipping away from you. Let's try some different things. Or was it always in the game plan when we're in that position of the field? That's what we're playing.
I think probably it's messages from the coaches. It's part of probably the game plan of, you know, we've really brought on that side of our game and being able to bring kicking into it and more of a competitive threat. So, you know, you saw Robin do it. So it's not necessarily just a shaky come on 50-22, you know, get it in the corner, but you've got to execute it as well. So for that to happen, that gives you massive confidence in being able to manage, like we talked about Canada being able to get it across in the width. Well, actually, if you can bring your kicking game into it and really get the wingers in, it stretches defence, which it showed.
Which is the same as whether you're running it, right? So you mentioned Shaky George. She is the 50-22 queen. When you're chasing a game, so early in the second half, we're down, we need to score twice. Now, that's a different game again than needing to score once, right, when you come out to the sheds. So all of a sudden, we're needing to score twice. Is that the time that you maybe start thinking about Lakey George pinning Canada back, forcing Canada to play out to their 22? I think in terms of game management, you know, Lakey's on the bench, I'm like, put it on. We need to be playing down in Canada's 22. We got two tries to score here. Let's go after it. What was your thoughts on that? What time Lakey come on? I think she come on with just 10 or just less than 10 to go in it.
Yeah, I think it was about 70 minutes, yeah. You know, she's a weapon, isn't she? Like the distance that she can get in her kick is insane. She's so strong. And, you know, it is an added value, like, for her coming on the pitch. So, 100%, like, you want to utilise her, you know, and it's great to see. I think against USA, she came on at centre. Which I quite like to start off with, like build the confidence, like work, you've got your 10 and your centre, you can kick together. game management, and Lleggy not only offers you know, kicking, blooming heck, she's a bit of a Sonny Bill Williams. She loves a little bit of an offload, you know, coming from a forward background, like back row. She loves getting in the mix of it as well. So, and I'll credit to her, like throughout the World Cup last year. Oh my gosh, like she wasn't fortunate enough to get a massive amount of game time, but the work that she was doing around analysis for every single game, after the game, studying the game. She said it herself that she's her mind, like not her mindset, but the way that she sees the game has evolved quite a lot. And she was doing so much homework out there. And now when we went out on Canada as well, I remember just seeing her in video analysis like continuously.
Yeah. I'm going to come on to the fact that you guys were out in Canada last year, but let's wrap the game up. Who really impressed you?
Who really impressed me? I actually think Georgia had a good game. Georgia Evans made a good impact.
We need to wait, I guess, for the injury assessment on Georgia. It looked like a nasty knock on the forehead, head-to-head with Apps Canadian 9. She went off for a HIA. She come back on. She went through two bandages, I think. It was just this perfusive bleeding. But she's hard as nails, right? So if she passes that HIA, there's no problem there. She'd be playing. But we have to wait for that. So Georgia impressed you. Sorry, I interrupted. Did you say why?
I just think she was being dogged and, you know, putting the pressure on. And then to get that intercept just kind of changes the dynamics going into that half time. So it's a big moment, you know, it's do or die in some ways. So well done her. Jazz Joyce is kicking, which is awesome. Another threat from 15, which is just brilliant. Thought she carried the ball really well.
Yeah, let's stick with Jazz Joyce a minute because she's come back from the sevens. Such an exciting player. Something just happens when Jazz gets on the ball that everybody just goes, heart rate goes up 1 or 2%, isn't it? But she is offering that kicking element of her game now, and you know she's solid in defence. You know, she was attacking. There was one point where she carried the ball, she slowed down and did a sevens dance, you know, like just before contact, they go left foot, right foot, and then just accelerated through three tacklers and almost come out the other side of it. So I think she offers something really exciting. I was really impressed with Jazz Joyce today.
Me too. Like awesome. And also our, you know, our set piece, our scrum and line out, to play tactically as well. With that first line out, brilliant. Scrum, I think we started off really well. And then I think Canada worked out a little bit on how to get underneath CC a little bit. And then Donna Rose came on and made an impact, I think, which is brilliant. And that just shows the competition that we've got kind of in the forwards. Like the girls are putting shifts in. Like it's hard out there. And you've got to work real hard throughout the whole game.
Yeah, we're not blessed with the depth that we would like, obviously. But it's nice to see people that can come off the bench and have an impact on the game. So that's a whole other conversation about our depth challenge for another pod, Kat.
Yes.
So before we move on from the game, let's talk about the penalties in the second half. So we're playing New Zealand next week. Is the New Zealand-France game finished yet?
Yeah, it's just finished. Just finished. So exciting. France have won. France beat the Black Ferns.
And what winning streak did they just...
So I saw, and I'm like, I'm trying to do the maths though, if this is right, but I think it was 16 games. I saw it was 16 games, but I'm not sure if the maths adds up.
Yeah, so they definitely said somewhere 16 game winning streak had just been lost. So all eyes on next week then. If we got New Zealand, we're now on a losing streak of one game. We'll take it. We'll take any confidence we can get. So we're New Zealand on a losing streak. We're on a losing streak. It's all to play for. What worries me is that penalty. Penalty after penalty after penalty. And that's credit to the pressure the Canada put on us. You've been in this squad. You've been with Johan Cunningham. How are they going to fix that by next week when we go to Black Ferns?
Yeah, I think when you play competitive games, you know, top tiered games, like that's always going to be the pressure point because you're playing on fine margins. So you're trying to put pressure on them, they're trying to put pressure on you. The penalty count, like anything when it get into double figures, like it's less likely you're going to win that game because you aren't keeping the ball and you're giving it to them. So there was a couple, you know, real easy changes like around we were getting penalties against us in attack. When we've got the ball, so that's stuff that we can easily control. It's just about sealing over and stuff like that. So that's just body position. You know, they're key messages that we can practice this week quite easily. And then similarly around, you know, holding on the floor, that's around two things. One, the person on the ball working harder to present, get it back further, and the people that are rucking or people that are supporting get there faster or make sure that you're, you know, with them latched on so you can kind of clean out. So those for me are simple little things. And actually we've done it in the past. You know, this is not a new thing. We've had high penalties and then we've recognized that that's a challenge for us because that gives away the ball too much. So, and then we tweak it and we, you know, get squeaky clean on it kind of thing. So it is doable, but and for me, it's just making sure on our ball that we're not giving away those penalties because you just kill yourself out of the game because you can't build your phases, you can't build your attack. And I really think in that second half, if we could have done that a little bit more, like that would have put more pressure on Canada than actually pressure on Wales. So, yeah. Key messages throughout the week.
Yeah, so talk us about, just very briefly, what this will look like then. So, you know, you've just come out of this environment. What does the week look like leading into that New Zealand game?
So they'll have a review or a rest day today, whatever it is in New Zealand. That's sort of Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so one of the days will be a rest day. The next day will be a review day, and then they'll start. On the Monday, probably kind of start putting some of the messages in around probably a bit of a gentler day. Tuesday will be a bit more of a full-on day around, a bit of a full-on training session. Probably a Wednesday is a rest day. Thursday, just going through kind of a bit of the motions. And Friday, captain's run.
Mm. So Tuesday then is probably going to be where they really go for it to work out all that penalty and that defence. And
yeah, definitely. And if there's any players, you know, who are close in selection, like that's kind of your opportunity to really talk to the coaches, understand the messages and show those pictures in that session because probably selection comes out after that.
Mm. So are you confident Wales are going to get better as the tournament goes on?
Yeah, you know, Australia's always been the big game for us, isn't it? And it's great that it's the last game because you can build throughout the tournament.
Yeah.
Next week against Black Ferns coming off their loss.
It's all to play for.
It's all to play for. What you want to see is, and what we did see this today is, you know, the first half, we managed that. Well, we were still in the game and we actually scored two really good tries, 21-17, competitive, putting pressure on defence, putting pressure on with our training ground plays, right, in our attack. So what you want to see is that's extended. So what I would have liked to see today is after the half time, okay, Canada scored quite early, but then we did get the ball, but we lost the ball kind of for about 20 minutes, between 50 minutes to 70 minutes. It was a bit of a back and forth in the middle of the pitch, somebody just taking hold of that and then, you know, getting some go forward. So whether that is kicking to the corners more so we can get territory or ball retention so we can build the phases and put pressure on like that.
Cool.
That would be the next thing.
I'm glad you mentioned Australia because I'm going to come on to we're the lowest ranked team in WX1. Australia are fifth in the world, we're sixth in the world. So we got New Zealand who's second and Canada who's fourth. So we've got to play those. Australia, we've got to be there for the taking, right?
Yeah, that's a big one for us. You know, we played them in the pool last year and lost, I think it was 13-7.
Yeah. I feel like we're the best of the rest, right? We've proven we're the best of the rest. So outside of our top five, you know, we beat Italy, we beat Scotland, we beat Ireland. You know, the others are, you know, we're confident we're the best of them. But when we look above us in the world rankings, you know, you've got England, New Zealand, France, Canada, Australia. When are we going to take a scalp? Because that would be a scalp for us. Is it going to happen in this tournament?
Yes.
Oh, no sitting on the fence. Straight in.
Definitely. I think so. I think so. I like the way that we've improved, the learnings we'll take from last year are massive, in our game management and putting pressure on them. So getting the territory game. So yes, I am not sitting on the fence and going for it.
All right. So it's all on that last game then, that Australia game.
Yeah.
Confident for that one. Okay. That's at a better time, right? I think that's at 6 o'clock. So
yeah, slightly better.
Slightly better. Okay. So thank you very much for reviewing the game, Ka. You give us so much more insight having just come out of the squad. So appreciate what you could bring to us. Let's jingle our way out of this one. Let's go. Jingle. Awesome.
Your shoulders even go. I love it.
All right, Cass, so there's been lots of other stuff going on, not just in the international scene. You're probably best placed to talk about this because I have no idea what's going on. But what's happened at Worcester, it's important we know because it affects a few of our players.
Yeah, it's a really tough time, actually. So Worcester Warriors women have withdrawn from the league, from the Premier 15s. And actually have stopped immediately, so not even playing their fixture this weekend in the Cup. It's a huge shock, actually, and really tough because they've gone through this already a year ago. Like during the World Cup, this is all happening, obviously, with the bigger context of the men as well. But they got through that, found an investor. Like I played with them. Like it's an absolutely awesome club. Like what Joe Yap and the environment has there with the coaching staff is brilliant. Like, it, like the cheesiness of like it's a family. Like people are looking after yourself, like after you, and we want to achieve stuff. And actually, this year I was really excited for them because, you know, you've gone through all of that last year, and now you can really focus on where you're going next. You've got your security, you've got your investor, all that kind of stuff, and you've managed to ride a massive storm. Mm-hmm. And like it was a real shock. So last Monday, just gone, investors came in, Cube International, and said, sorry, we can't continue with this, with pretty much immediate effect. And then they said that to the coaches. And then the players were turning up. And they had to tell the players pretty much straight away. So really emotional time and really, really sad for rugby, actually, and women's rugby.
It is really sad for women's rugby. We'll come on to how it affects the girls in a minute, but let's look at this as a business product. We've got, in the English Prem, the best women's rugby product on the planet. And one of the teams, well, a couple of teams, you know, are in a position where it's challenging, but you know, Worcester in particular have folded because they can't get a sponsor for the, you know, how does that's scary for the product as a whole, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really vulnerable, really, really vulnerable. And you can see that in the men's game, you know, to lose three men's premiership teams in pretty much a season and a half ish, like with London Irish, just at the, like, it's crazy to think of the vulnerability of it and the amount of rugby players, staff, coaches, essence, like all the infrastructure around it that, you know, you sign in a contract for a year, but you don't even know if that will be with you, you know, and where that's at. So it's really tough.
Yeah. And we want everyone to get contracts and go pro, don't we? But even that's not a promise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also it's just around like you make big decisions in where you know people are committing, you know, with Worcester, loads of the girls are traveling across the border. So it's big decisions, like as a life decisions as well, to where you're gonna go. And so it just adds a bit of jeopardy to it, really.
Yeah. We'll talk about those girls that have been traveling in a minute. But before we do that, we bang on about how the women's game is growing. It's probably the biggest ROI in rugby is in the women's game at the moment. It's going places detached from the men to create your own identity, in which, you know, they have done in the English Prem. Are we just blowing smoke up our own arses with that? Or is that still the case? And this is a hiccup? Or is this a sign of things to come?
It's really hard to say, I think. Like all the statistics, like Women's Sports Trust released recently a massive research piece around women's sports, what's the coverage, what's the social media like? Mm. And like the Rugby World Cup is a really good example of, you know, they sold out Eden Park.
Mm.
Like, you know, if that doesn't show you there's demand, like... Then I don't know what that. Similarly with Twickenham and Six Nations, so it's growing.
And we sold out the Arms Park thanks to the English
crowd. And we sold out
crowd,
the Arms Park. Yeah,
we sold
exactly.
Out, you know, Canada had a record crowd before they travelled in one of their warm up fixtures. You know, that those stats are promising, right?
Yeah, like people are turning up. People are interested. More people are turning up. So definitely, and social media wise, like it's huge. Like whenever I go on, you know, a player appearance or something like that, like the young people, the school, like I shout out to my old school, actually did a prize evening on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
And Escol Tregeeb.
You've got to say that slower for our English language listeners.
So in Llandailo, Escol, so they've changed the name. So it was Escol Tregeeb, and then now it's Escol Bro Dinevor. And a huge shout out to them. There's some really cool rugby prospects there. But also it was a prize evening for people who've done really well over the academic year. So well done, all of you guys.
And they were there, they were given, was it some kind of presentation by your smiley face, was it?
It was absolutely an honor to go back to my school. Mm. It was lovely. And to be in the position that you go back, like, you know, it's been a while since I was at school, and I was in their shoes. I attended that event, like, you know, you get your certificates, yeah, you get your prizes and things like that. So a couple of messages from me just around, you know, just keep following your interests, keep following what you love, because, and say yes to opportunities, because you know, and that's why I'm on this pod. Go outside your comfort zone. So keep following your dreams and keep working hard at it. Keep turning up. You can only control what you're doing in that day. So yeah. So keep taking those little steps.
I love that we just drifted off into your TED talk. but let's go back to Worcester. Let's tell us what's happening from the girls' perspective then. So they're out in New Zealand right now and they've just found out their club's collapsed.
Yeah. It's huge. Like, because we talk about the family feel, and that's what it is at Worcester. So it's not even just, you know, half emotionally connected. Like you're fully invested in the club, and people have been there for a long time. You know, Karis Phillips has been there for a long time. We've got quite a few out there. You know, I won't mention them all, but I think there's probably six of us, the six players that were out there with Worcester. It's tough. But I would say that, you know, right now they're focusing on WXV.
Mm.
That's a big thing for them. And I'm sure that there's conversations around, we will support you when you come back. And also there's the opportunity, like just thinking outside the box around Celtic Challenge and space around, you know, January, February, December, January, February, March, to get game time in there to the build up to the Six Nations.
Yeah. So we will give a shout out to those players. So there's Karis Phillips, Alex Callender, Natalia John, Hannah Black, and Karis Cox, who are out in New Zealand right now. And there's obviously Fionn Jones, Fionn
Lewis.
Lewis, who's at home recovering from an ACL injury, which
yeah.
you've got to feel for Fionn, right? There's, you know, we're not sure where the players are going to go anyway. Like, what's, there's no squad still open. It's like the rest of their season is looking in doubt right now. But Fionn Lewis, who's going to want to, nobody can snap her up because she's long-term injured. That's sad.
Yeah, that's tough. But like, not to bang on about professional contracts, but they are being looked after by WRU. Like, they do have that infrastructure of S&C. I am sure that, you know, if they're not having stuff at club, then they'll have stuff. They'll be have training at the Vale, with those kind of provisions around skills, around it's just the game time that you'd be looking to try and find.
And that's some key players there that will be lacking game time going into the Six Nations.
Yeah, potentially, if they don't find other opportunities to get that game time, yeah.
Yeah. I also got to mention that Sean Ed Harries and Fionn Lewis are taking this opportunity to call on the WRU to invest in rugby in Wales. Which very much aligned to what I bang on about all the time. You know, there is a risk here that if this team folds and that's 5-6 of our players that won't play high level rugby now, and there's no high level rugby in Wales that can, you know, mop that up and give them the high same level of game time. So we will talk about Welsh Club in a second, but before we do that, you know, that's two important voices there that haven't used their platforms to urge the WRU to invest in the game in Wales. So I want to know where you stand on this, Kat, because I will burn it all down if I get going now. So I best be quiet and you can take the lead.
I think, you know, everyone has got the same agenda. We want Wales to do well. We want there to be pathways and opportunities for women and girls to progress, to take the opportunity. And you know, the game is growing. Like, WXV is an example of that. There's, like, during this autumn period, there is an international competition that you get to play against. And it's not just, you know, WXV1, the top tier. There's there's three tiers. There's 18 teams that are playing, which is amazing. More than the World Cup. Mm. And it's going to happen annually. So if you don't invest in that, you're going to go behind. And then you're going to start dropping down tiers, which means that it's a massive knock-on effect around supporters, fans, and actually the aspirational side of it. Like, in the 2 years that we have highly, highly invested in, that we've got professional contracts and that we've got other infrastructures around staffing, we...
Sorry, Carol's been distracted. It's the baby just coming to eye shot then.
Yeah.
Your face went, oh, cute.
you'll get left behind. So it's really important. Like, there's been massive changes, not just on the pitch for supporting the players, but also the staffing and the infrastructure around training and all that kind of stuff. You know, going on a warm-up out to Canada before going out to the World Cup. Like, I've been involved for 17 years and we hadn't gone on tour for 13 of those years. So it was just amazing. So definitely, like, from a player's perspective, you've got a voice, but it's also that jeopardy of if you voice it too much, does that risk, like, your position? So there's a little bit around, you've got to have the belief in the culture and the structure that we are going somewhere, which I do believe in. Like, Jeff, you've seen some of the changes. We've seen the impact on the pitch as well. So,
yeah.
I
think you're focusing on the wrong side, though, Kat. You're focusing on the professional side of the game. Like, let's lean back. My favourite word, everyone's sticking me banging on about it, pathways. Like, the pathways in Wales, like, we got this great girls... I almost say sections, but that's wrong. The amount of girls playing rugby now is huge. We've got a professional level, and the gap between those age grades and that international player doesn't exist in Wales, right? Because WRU, I'm off on one. See, I said, don't let me do it. The WRU have not invested in our own club system and our own kind of elite pathways. we wiped our hands of it and passed it over to English Prem Rugby. Now former senior players are saying, actually, we need something in Wales. This is massive. This has never happened before. Current players are saying, we need something in Wales. And I think the folding of Worcester have really scared people. If another team goes and opportunities become even slimmer for Welsh girls to play in the English Prem, where do we turn to? Because the WRU have not invested, have not developed their own product. So that's what I want your opinion on, Kat.
Yeah, and you know, for your international team to thrive, like your club rugby has to be thriving, you've got to have avenues, and you want to reward local clubs, people that are giving their time, volunteers, all that kind of stuff. You know, it was brilliant to see Nell Metcalf get her first cap, and then Dan Conroy, and their hub, like, absolutely buzzing up in Park Arias. Like, it was fantastic. Yeah, is massive. And we're such a rugby nation. We've got to have our club rugby, have that avenue, have that, like, pathway for people. So 100%, that's a big part of the infrastructure that needs to happen.
But I want to come on to the club scene in Wales, because I think there's a responsibility there and there's a concern as well. So club rugby kicked off on the 3rd of September. We're 6 weeks in. Congratulations, Llandaff North. We're sitting top of the Premiership. Do you remember in the summer, Carl, there was a bit of a risk that we were going to lose the Premiership and Championship, and there was a proposal by the WRU to just play local and not play the best kind of thing. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, like you say, to be competitive, you've got to play, you know, your standard. For me personally, like, you want to be playing fun, close games, you know, because that's when you get challenged the most. So, yeah, interesting take on it, really. Like, you can see it now within England, like, the Premier 15s is really competitive because you've got the best teams with the best infrastructures in there. So you've got to play against the best and at your level. So if someone's coming in at participation, they want to be playing at their level. And if you want to be playing elite, then you want to be playing at your level.
Oh, spot on. And that was the risk, right? But the proposal was you're going to just play your kind of local teams, which would have lost all that eliteness that you just leaned into. So just want to give a shout out to the Premiership, the Championships, and the WRU for making that U-turn. They're really good at U-turns. So making sure we had a Premiership and Championship this season. But I want to say congratulations to everyone that did play, but there is grave concerns there, the players that are not playing, the teams that are not playing, the amount of postponements in 6 weekends is huge. So in the Premiership, only 55% of games went ahead to date. Now, I understand weather and you know, other things can call off a game, and that's fine if it is called off because of weather. But at some point, we've got to put our hands up and say, look, if we want the WRU to invest in us, if we want the WRU to create a product out of our women's club rugby, then you've got to do your part and you've got to turn up and play as well. You've got to fulfill these fixtures. Because the WRU will look at this at the end of the season and said, well, half your game's played. Why would we invest in that? So, for me...
Not true, you know, yeah. If there's opportunities to play, then we want to see the games played, right?
Yeah. We've got to give the WRU a reason not to invest in us, not to invest in our clubs. And that percentage, that's the reason. Don't hand them anything for free, right? You've got to push back on everything. But fact of the matter is, when only 55% of the games are being played, why would they put money and resource into a product that's underperforming? Similarly, in the Championship, 5 out of 15 were played. In those 6 weekends, so that's 66%. So I guess this is a call to arms then, Carol, out to the Welsh clubs. We know it's difficult. We know the things, you know, you are working women, students, you have family commitments, but if we're going to put pressure on WRU, we've got to get up and turn out and play, girls. We've got to up these percentages. So this is a call of arms between now and the end of the season. Don't postpone a game. Let's get those percentages way up. And let's put so much pressure on the WRU that with the pressure from Sean Ed and Fion now and the closures over the bridge, let's invest everything here. Let's put our energy into it from the volunteers to the players to the club managers to the WRU themselves. But we've got to turn up.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Really unfortunate that our guest couldn't join us, Kat.
Yeah, unfortunately, technical difficulties.
So we're not going to say who it is, because hopefully we'll get her on another pod. You nearly said that.
Yeah, I did.
But her face has popped up many a time, but technical difficulties means it was only me and you today. And I'm very pleased to welcome you to the Back the Girls podcast family of hosts. So it was always our ambition to grow a pool of hosts so that no matter who is available, there would be some former player that can carry the conversation forward and keep shining a light on the women's game. So, diolch yn fawr, Karen, a croeso.
Diolch yn fawr. It's good to be able to chat rugby.
It is. Okay, so before you go, prediction for next week.
I do think New Zealand will win, but I do think that it will be, we will get a couple of more tries, and I'm going to go 25-14.
Die out. Prediction mind, I was just asking for the winner, so I'm just going to say New Zealand are going to win. And given that we're both on a losing streak, you know, it's all to play for.
Yeah, all to play for.
Okay, diolch yn fawr, Caryl. Cariad mawr i ti.
Diolch yn fawr. Cheers, guys.